Well, there's a situation, yeah, I happen to believe with baseball, when a kid gets to be about, you know, 10, 11 years old and they ain't hitting or catching or throwing, time to do something else, okay? But there's a situation where there's one of Brendan's little friends, I think he's like, it must be 12 years old. I don't know how this little guy still was playing, okay? The coach had a little soft heart and put him on the team. Well, I knew him. This is not his real name. I'll call him George. I knew little George. He didn't have a man in the house. His mother, his grandmother, and sister, and they were there, okay? So George didn't get a lot of playing time, okay? But this one game, you know, didn't mean anything, and we're way ahead. So George gets up there, and I know the family, okay? I've been knowing this kid since he's a little guy, and I know him very well. So when I tell you what I did, understand that I was a little safe to do this. So George is standing there in a batter's box, okay? I'm standing behind, you know, the fence there and watching this. And George is there in the batter's box, his mama and grandmother over there and his little sister. He's up there in the batter's box. And this little kid grooves this fastball right down the middle, you know, bam, strike. He's standing with the bat on his shoulder. Three strikes, right? Bam, bam, bam. You're out, you know, U-turn. And so check this out. Little George turns and looks up in the stands and sees his mother and grandmother, and he starts crying. Now, I'm of the school, once you're about 9 or 10 years old, ain't no reason to be crying when you strike out. So he looked up in the stand, he started crying, and he looked at me, and I said, "Shut up." Shut up. Then he looked at me and said, "Stop looking at your mother as he's walking off. Shut up. If you swing the bat, you might hit the ball. If you don't swing, you ain't going to hit it." You know what he did? He just straightened up. All he needed was a man to clarify, "Come on, buddy, this ain't appropriate." Okay, childhood, adolescence. Number three, manhood. Manhood is marked by two wonderful words, obligation and responsibility. Obligation and responsibility. That's how you tell a man is a man. When he moves toward obligation and moves toward responsibility. When he is no longer defined by impulse behavior. When his decisions are no longer defined and dominated by what he feels like doing. You know he's gotten the message and he's been significantly pulled away from adolescent behavior when he presses into what he ought to do and what is right to do. That's what a man does. That's what a man does. And that's not that we don't ever not do what we feel like doing. I mean, I like playing golf and games and all this stuff. It's not that. But the core of his life is now focused on what is objectively right, and I live my life by responsibility, and I get my joy out of finishing the things that I should do. That's the source of my joy. That's what a man does. And by the way, in the Bible, manhood is not an emotional place at which we arrive. In the Bible, manhood is a decision and an action. Did you know that? This is the reason why you got to be very careful of how you filter in. You know, we all have hurts and pains and wounds, and some of us have father wounds, and all that stuff is very, very real. Very, very real in our lives, okay? But at the end of the day, a man is a man when he makes a decision, and then his behavior matches that decision. Where do you get that from? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Listen to Paul's choice of words. He said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child, et cetera, et cetera." Now listen to what he says. He says, "But when I became a man," when I became a man, listen to how he says this. He says, "I did away. I did away. I did away. I did away." In other words, I made a decision that said, you know, this ain't age appropriate. It's not age appropriate. Some things, and I'm pretty direct with dudes. When I counsel them, I'm pretty direct with them. I will say stuff like, you know what? You're overthinking things. Some things you just need to stop. Now, I understand it's difficult to stop, and we can get you some help with that. But, you know, the problem with you is that you're keeping your options open too much. You're just thinking with your feelings, and you're trying to make it sound more sanitized than it really is. But you're just kind of stuck over here. You need to make a decision to be a man. You need to make a decision to figure out what are the habit patterns that I have and the stuff that I'm doing that's not age-appropriate anymore. The way I'm making my decisions, how I'm spending my time. And so Paul says, you know, when I became a man, I looked at the stuff and said, you know, I can't just be going out all the time, and I just can't be buying everything that I feel like I'm going to buy, and I just can't be handling money the way I've been handling money, and I can't be responding and yelling at my wife the way I've been doing it before, and we're acting like we're 16 or 17 years old. I can't do that. It's a decision. And then it is also an action. Paul said in his parting shot to the church there at Corinth, a remarkable text of scripture, unbelievable. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I believe it is, verse 13, incredible text. Listen to what he says. He says, he's saying this to the guys there, providing leadership. He says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, an interesting choice of words. He said, act like men. Act like a man. We act ourselves into our identity. That's not hypocrisy. We act ourselves into our identity. Jim Baker, some of you are too young to remember him. I ain't talking about James Baker, who was Secretary of State under the first Bush. But Jimmy and Tammy Faye, down the road over here, he wrote a book that I still, if I was the head of a dean of a seminary, I'd make every student, every incoming MDiv student read this book. The name of the book is I Was Wrong, where he confesses his stuff. In that book, he talks about, it's a little veiled, but he talks about being abused in prison. And then he talks about how another inmate came alongside and said to him, you know why you're being abused? It's the way you're carrying yourself. He meant that physically. You're carrying yourself in an effeminate way. And he says in the book, he's I'm a grown man with children. But this man taught me how to walk like a man, how to carry myself as a man.